And good morning, Brother Bell, here with you on the first recording of the Sooner Rose, the first video recording, hopefully, of the Sooner Rose Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. We are also recording this via an audio recording, so hopefully one way or another we'll get this out to our people, whether it's audio or video or maybe both. We appreciate the opportunity. I hate these days and these times that causes us to come like this, to be able to, have to sit at home and get our church services and our seeking out messages and things beyond our normal schedule of things, and not being able to fellowship with the people in the house of God. But we do thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to come by way of audio and by way of video. And hopefully we won't have to do this too much more longer. Hopefully next week here at the church we'll be able to do a parking lot service. Maybe, hopefully. We'll see how that worked out. It worked out really well this last week, but we had good weather. I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow or today when this video is uploaded. So maybe next week on Easter Sunday we'll be able to do a parking lot service, or maybe, hopefully, be able to just to come into the house of God and to enjoy the things of God around the Word of God. All right, we're going to be lots of different places in the Word of God today. In light of all the goings on happening around the COVID-19 pandemic, I guess, and how that things have been, the liberties that we have lost in the shelter in place, and not being able to freely go. We can freely go, and I do appreciate our governor and mayoral leaders, city leaders, how that they have handled a lot of that, just basically doing the stressing of staying at home, but you still have the liberty to go and, to the store and things like that if you need to. And I do appreciate those liberties, but at the same time, in exercising our own selves to stay in, you kind of realize how that liberties to move freely is something that I think we take for granted each and every day. And of course, there's a lot of states that's closing down their borders. They're keeping folks out of their states. If you don't have to work there, you're not there for some reason. And then keeping people out that does not reside in those states. And so So we have seen some of our liberties, if you will, the liberty to travel and some other liberties at least sequestered for a little while. And in light of all that, just to think about the lack of liberty that we have during these times, I was thinking much about the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. The first part of it goes something like this. I mean, it is a kind of a lengthy reading, but I did have originally just the one short statement that most people are familiar with, but as I got to reading it, and I encourage everyone to do a little history lesson and take out the Declaration of Independence, remembering that we were declaring our independence from England back as 13 colonies, and the representatives had gotten together, and they wrote this, and they signed their fortunes and their signatures to this, pledging their lives and their fortunes, and of which many of them lost. But in Congress, July the 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations of pursuing invariably the same object of evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And it goes on from there, just a short while after where I left off reading, it goes into the specifics that our forefathers had against the King of England, and then it was to be read not only in the presence of the king, but if you read the Declaration of Independence, it was written that the whole world might read that and understand why our forefathers did what they did. I thought it was interesting how that they didn't take it lightly, that they were separating from the government of England, and how they also address that a lot of people will go ahead and suffer under government than to abolish the form of government that they're accustomed to. But you know our history. But it's a sad thing that a lot of people don't know our history, and that is very, very sad. That being said, in light of our liberties being sequestered, I got to thinking, thinking about this declaration and the things that, according to our forefathers, and the way that they put it into the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And that's rights that cannot be taken away from you, which among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, I appreciated our forefathers in their wisdom, in the declaration, how that they gave God, our Creator, the rightful place in these things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, they also mentioned the laws of nature, and nature's God entitled them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, which that require they should declare the causes which impel the separation. Again, giving God credit in the formation of our government as it is. But as I was looking at those words, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I couldn't help but to think about the word liberty, obviously, as you kind of have understood the fact that a lot of our liberties seem to be sequestered, seem to be put down, seem to be threatened in some aspects. Lots of times we give up liberty for security, and then we never seem to get our liberties back once the fear, the situation is over with. But as I was looking at this, and in light of all that, and the fact of this being in our Declaration of Independence, and the things that we have enjoyed by our Creator, these unalienable rights, I got to thinking about that and how that, you know, really we could take the liberty to go ahead and have our services today. We could take our liberty to go ahead and go against what has been instructed of us to do, but by doing so, then it might affect the lives of others, which, you know, maybe our own lives, but then the lives of others. And then, you know, I got to thinking about that, and that's one reason we're doing what we're doing here as a church this morning to be able to just stay home, stay secure, and hopefully stay healthy in these days. But that being said, as I was looking at this, and if these were our unalienable rights and the rights that was God given to us by our Creator, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, in light of the Scriptures, how that we as mankind have really messed up. Let's look at these three terms in light of the Scriptures and how that mankind messed up. You know, and it was messed up. It was given to us by our Creator, these unalienable rights granted to us. And we see that as far as life goes in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there it is with the fact of in the creation, God gave man life. He formed us. He formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, and therefore gave him life. He gave him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And everything was wonderful until man sinned in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we know the rest of the story in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So God gave man life. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. He told that man not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when he did, that he would die. And then Adam ate of it, and mankind died. Did he die physically? No. He did not die physically, not at that time. Physical death came much later on, but death came into this world. But then along with death came sin. Sin came into this world because of his disobedience. We see that in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin in the garden, all sin passed upon all men. If you are born of woman this day, then you are a born sinner. You are born a sinner because of Adam's sin in the garden. And so the life that was given to us by our Creator was taken away from us by Adam's sin. And Romans chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Let's continue reading with that thought. Let me go back up to verse number 12, because 13 through 17, a parenthetical statement which we have lifted out. I just skipped over here for tonight's message, or this morning's message. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, our Creator, gave us life, gave mankind life. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But because of Adam and Adam's sin, death came. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so there's where we are. You know, even though our forefathers put those three words in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence, life liberty and the pursuit of happiness, mankind in Adam experienced death, death to the soul, death to the body eventually, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everybody is going to die in the flesh. In the natural man, you will die because of Adam's sin and what the sin, the punishment of sin that came upon this world. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in our reading there in Romans chapter 5, we read that death came by Adam and sin came by Adam, but Jesus Christ took care of it. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. For as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam, many were made sinners, but so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And who was that one that obeyed? That one was Jesus Christ, God incarnate. It was God himself came down upon this world and in this world and in his, he was born of a virgin. He was not born of a man. He was born of woman, but he had not man's seed within him because he was God. The Holy Spirit shadowed Mary, the virgin. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. This is God incarnate, God with us, Emmanuel, which means God with us. He lived the sinless life. He laid down his life on the cross to pay the penalty of sin for mankind. And because he did that, then we maybe have righteousness in him, not only righteousness, but eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And so in the fact that our God, our Creator, gave us that unalienable right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we as mankind messed up. And through our sin, through Adam's sin, death entered into this world. But through Jesus Christ, you can obtain that eternal life that's found only through and by him and by his shed blood. And then it comes down to liberty and what we have in liberty. You know, again, we have lost many of our liberties. And when I looked up the word liberty in the Word of God, several different places, but I want to take us to Luke chapter 4. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ had just come from the temptation of the wilderness. And then he went into the synagogues. And Luke chapter 4, and let's pick up our reading here in verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." But back up there in verse number 18, and going back, he's actually reading in the book of Isaiah, and he's in Isaiah chapter Number 61 is where he took his reading, and as he read that, then I got to look in there to set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And in this connotation, and in the connotation set forth there in Isaiah chapter 61, referring to that year of the Lord and that acceptable year of the Lord, it's referring to what they find that set forth in the law in Leviticus chapter 25 and the law of the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, where in the 49 years, those people that had given themselves as bondservants and those people that were taken in as servants and taken in as slaves and those that had land taken away from them, all that was restored. They were set free. They found themselves liberated in that 50th year. And, of course, Isaiah discusses that. And if you'll read Isaiah 61, you will see that. But then Jeremiah also deals with that as well, in the fact that chapter 34, how that the children of Israel, that was presented to them for to do, to set the captives free and to redeem those that that needed redeemed as set forth in the law in Leviticus. But then if you'll read Jeremiah 34, you'll see that not they set them free, but they took back. And because they took back, then they were punished. So all this thing, again, is set forth to be that's talking about that year of Jubilee. What happens in that year of Jubilee? Well, let's just read Leviticus chapter 25, verses, begin reading in verse number 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall be, or shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of the Jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And so they were to set at liberty people. It's a book of redemption. It's a book of freedom. It's a year of redemption. It's a year of freedom. It's a year of restoration. The Jubilee there. And that's what he's referring to in the fact that when Jesus Christ said himself that this day this scripture is fulfilled, the fact of the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And we mentioned the sin that we have in Adam and how that sin oppresses, sin puts us down, but we are set at liberty. We're given life in Jesus Christ, but we're also given liberty in Jesus Christ. And as he declared right there, this day this scripture is fulfilled. He said, the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He had been anointed to preach the gospel, the good news, the good tidings, as it says there in the book of Isaiah chapter 61, the good tidings. And that's what we, as the children of God, come to proclaim to you, is the good tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is found in him, and liberty is found in him. You're not bound anymore. You're redeemed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You're restored. The fellowship is restored back into the Father that Adam lost when he lost his life there in the Garden of Eden. And then, finally here, the pursuit of happiness. Happiness. And if we are not there, I mean, what sin had done in taking our life away, what sin had had done in taking our liberties away, sin also took the happiness away. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 12, talking about mankind, and if we are not living here, just look around, you will see that we're kind of there these days, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blameless, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And in verse number 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. And so they are brute beasts. They have no happiness. They, even though they might be in pursuit of happiness, those that are lost will work their whole lives seeking happiness. They'll seek happiness in the bottle. They'll seek happiness in sex. They'll seek happiness in drugs. They'll seek happiness in any other way that they can find them. And whenever they might find whatever pleasure that they find in those things, they find the fact that it's temporal. It doesn't last that long. Just like Moses, he chose the sufferings of God's people to go with the sufferings of God's people. I'm not reading it right. I'm not quoting it right. But then to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And let's see if I can just find that and read that for you. I got it right here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so people seek happiness and seek joy, and in sin it's only temporal. You're not going to find true happiness and true joy until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, again, as I was looking at those things in light of our sequestering of our liberties, it seems like, and again, we need to be very careful as we come out of this thing in the days to come, that if laws are being made to permanently take some of our liberties away, we need to be very aware and very careful that our representatives represent us, and we hang on to those liberties as long as we possibly can. But again, looking at it, our forefathers had said that these are unalienable rights. Our Creator has given us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we know that in Adam, the life was taken away. In Adam and his sin, liberty was taken away. In Adam and in his sin that he bestowed upon all mankind, happiness was taken away. But in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. In Jesus Christ, we have that liberty that he said he gave. And as he redeemed us, as he restored us with fellowship back unto the Father in him, and then we have happiness only through and in him in these days. And that's my message this morning. Hopefully it's been a blessing and a help to you, not only to our church here at Sooner Rose. A couple of them come in and got on the last end of that, but then those that may listen elsewhere, hopefully it's been a blessing and help to you. I know that these days are interesting days, and as I preached last week and then on the radio again today or yesterday on the 4th, let's put it that way, of April, then we just need to keep looking around, looking up. As my father-in-law, my former pastor, used to say, as he would end his broadcast, keep looking up Jesus may come tonight. Bye for now. And surely He may come tonight. I just want to hope that He finds you ready. He finds you prepared. He finds you with that eternal life and with that liberty that's found in Him and with that joy that's found in Him also. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to Him today. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you and drawing you and showing you your need of a Savior, He's available today. Put your faith and trust in Him and repent of your sins and repentance toward God and faith. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, as Acts 20:21 says, and the Lord will save you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You today. Thank You for this opportunity. It's not the best way, but we do thank You for the opportunity and a way to be able to preach the gospel to our people and then to those others that may be listening to this. And I ask and pray that You'll help everything to go well. Help us to be able to come into Thy fellowship again and fellowship with our believers again in our church buildings. And I pray that You would just put down the virus that has taken hold of this world. And we ask and pray that You would help us, dear God, not to lose our liberties permanently, Lord, but be able to continue to worship You in spirit and in truth freely in this, our great nation. I ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen and amen.